Hey, it's time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and True and White. The professional builder's choice is my good friend Mark Pearsall. It's coming out to the game, I think, the 31st, and he let us know that yesterday from True and White. Bruce, good morning. How are you on this Sunday?
Hey, Bruce.
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
Well, pretty good. You know, it's amazing. When I grew up, you know, remember the TV show Brooklyn Bridge? I don't know if you remember that. Remember that, Bruce?
I remember Saved by the Bell, Marty.
That may be a New York-centric show. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
It was not. It was all over the place. So Gary David Goldberg did it.
Well, back in the late 30s, I think.
I'm sorry. You're thinking of Molly Goldberg. But
there you go.
But this was one that recreated the Brooklyn life of Gary David, whatever his name is, in Brooklyn. And it was you didn't have a chance to ever see a baseball player. I mean, for him, Gil Hodges. I mean, to go to the bank and see Gil Hodges, and it was the end of the world for you. Mm-hmm. So here we have, you know, we brought out Adam Duvall. We've had Joe Panic on the show. We've had
Dan Uggla
here. But whatever. For fans to see it and to be close to it, to see a major league player in a major league uniform sitting in front of you the day of the game, Bruce, I tell you something. Even for me, it's something that it's a picture that every fan should have a chance to be part of. It's just special.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the old Brooklyn days, you know, reading about that and how, you know, the players lived there. You'd see them in the street, at the market, whatever. You know, back then, they probably had summer jobs somewhere, and they really were part of the community, and you felt like you knew them a little bit. And, things have obviously gotten much more distant over the years. You get a little bit of that the Giants, and of course you get the good interactions at the ballpark. But it is a real special feeling.
Yeah, let me just give you a quick anecdote. A buddy of mine managed a nightclub here in San Francisco, and after CC Sabathia got his first big contract with the New York Yankees, CC came into the club and he had, I mean, straight up SWAT guys with him, and they were all wearing bulletproof vests and had 45s, and I mean, because the threat of being kidnapped for ransom for a guy that just got a $100 million deal is probably pretty real, Bruce.
Well, it is. And how about the guys from Venezuela? I mean, talk about a real kidnapping threat. I mean, that could happen tomorrow to any of these guys when they go, you know, at home when they go back in the winter. I mean, it's incredible development there. But yeah, they have to be careful. I mean, you know, in decades past, ball players could walk the street. Hey, how's it going? And you know, stuff could happen, but not on the scale that it happens today. And I don't know about an entourage with AK-47s.
It's real. The threat is real.
You do have to be careful, and of course, you could get your scooter stolen as well.
Yep. Now, of course, with your dear father, Gordon Jenkins, I know you saw a lot of major people in the entertainment world. How about baseball people? A baseball player? Who was the first one you actually met? Not as a professional, but just as a kid.
Well, yeah, my dad was a Dodger fan. He spent a lot of time in New York working there, and when the Dodgers moved west, I became Gil Hodges was my favorite player, number 14, the big first baseman. And my dad said, "This is the nicest guy you're ever going to meet in the world." And one day he took me down outside the clubhouse, and I got to meet him. And I never forget my little hand being swallowed. I think even my hand today would be swallowed by Gil Hodges' hand. And my dad also introduced me to Jackie Robinson, who playing days were over, but that was an unforgettable experience. And I remember that, you know, because I was so into sports and became my life, I remember those episodes better than most of the interactions with musicians.
But just to see Adam out here and taking pictures with the kids and with the fans and graciously doing it, it's just not something that never happened in my life. Pat, did that ever happen in your life?
I don't remember as a kid growing up, but I'd like to ask both of you, I mean, as cynical adults, anybody kind of catch your eye now? I mean, that would kind of rock you a little bit? Anybody on the landscape now? I don't know, Barry Bonds or someone?
In terms of what?
I guess on the celebrity factor, the major leaguers now, anybody that would just kind of give you that special feeling nowadays, or are you too adult and too cynical?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was watching the game last night. I saw Tom Seaver being interviewed by Amy G, and I was glued to his every word. I mean, you know, just talking about pitch counts and wine, and or you know, with Bert Blylevin or George Brett, those guys, the guys that you covered or going farther back idolized as a kid. I that still is interesting. You know, provided that that they are good guys, and they don't just shrug you off or hide under a hoodie or something. But no, I still get a little charged at seeing, in my case, guys that I covered several years back.
Yeah, I for me, it's Mays, McCovey, and Cepeda.
And Vin Scully.
Well, Vin Scully, I'm intimidated by. You know that. I don't have the nerve to say anything to him because I'm 5 years old when I'm looking at him, you know. But Mays, McCovey, and Cepeda, and I see them all the time, and they're so gracious with me. Mm-hmm. Every time I talk to Willie McCovey, Willie Mays, or Orlando Cepeda, I think it's special.
Cool.
Very much so.
Yeah.
All right, Bruce, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, please, finish.
No, I was just going to say, it connects you with your past, you know, which is a great thing for anybody in any business, where you can connect with the people that really meant something to you when you were younger.
Yeah. Hey, you wrote a very, very, very comprehensive column this morning about the collision play at the plate and all that, and you gave a lot of suggestions, and I'd love for you to talk about that for the fans, and I know it's very much in the news today, and I respect your opinion on it. What do you have to say?
Well, there's a lot going on with that rule, and I tried to cover a lot of the things. We don't have time to do all of that, but, you know, basically Wednesday against the White Sox, there was, you know, the play where Blanco was eventually called safe because of the letter of this new law. That's something that has to change, and like right away, like today, it has to change. It has to be changed before the offseason, before the postseason, because you had a situation where he was absolutely out, just dead to rights out. But as you look at the replay, oh, my God, the catcher, technically, he's got his leg over the plate before he has the ball, which just had nothing to do with anything. And yet, because he did that, all of a sudden, Blanco is safe. And, you know, that's just wrong. I would like to see the challenge system come out of that particular play, the home plate, and leave it up to the umpires, if not on the field, you know, to have a review. But you know, Bochy just stole that run by challenging it. Mm-hmm. He knew that there was some doubt about the plate coverage, which is the whole thing now. And sure enough, he stole a run that they didn't deserve. And, you know, another thing is that everybody is sliding now. You know, Bochy and virtually every manager in the big leagues was told to tell the guys, sliding is the way to go. There's no more Scott Cousins, okay? That's done. No more Pete Rose and Ray Fosse. Slide, slide, slide. And everybody's sliding almost to the extreme, to where they're not realizing that they've got a clear path to the plate. If it's just straight ahead. If they don't have a straight ahead path to the plate, they can take it aggressively. And guys aren't doing that now, which is another thing that the rule is in place for that. But I think at some point somebody's going to blow up a catcher, and people are going to go, you know what, that was legal, and that might trigger a new trend among the base runners, because when you get to the postseason, this is another point I wanted to make. Here comes a guy with the winning run and, you know, the opening game of the World Series. And you're, as a catcher, your only real hope is to block the plate, which you consider your territory. That's the bank. And what, you're supposed to stay outside the line and do a swipe tag that might miss him? That just doesn't fly with these guys. So there's an awful lot going on here. The bottom line being that the rule is completely unsatisfactory, outside of the fact that nobody's getting carried off in an ambulance, which is a huge factor.
Yeah, this has got to be changed. I thought it would be changed before the playoffs. A lot of people think it won't be changed before that. I think that has to be changed before the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that there's been a few plays like the Blanco play around the big leagues, and I think La Russa and Torrey and people are starting to think, you know, this, we cannot have that in the postseason, because it just be a total embarrassment.
Yeah, I think in Cincinnati, or you know, it was down in Miami, the Marlins and the Reds had an incident, a lot of people went bananas over. So that caused a lot of controversy.
Change that game.
Yep.
And
yep.
Just like the White Sox game here.
That's right.
Completely change it. Boy.
And if you're a catcher, you know, here comes the throw. It's not right for you to be thinking, all right, now where are my feet exactly? You know, are they? Am I technically blocking the plate here? You know, Posey is the master of the just inside, you know, the legal swipe tag position, but not everybody wants to do that. And you, as a catcher, you're thinking about, you know, where's the plate instead of where's the play.
You know, I love the cartoons on Sunday morning in the Chronicle, you know, in the sports section. Whoever does that is got it every Sunday. It's a riot. And today he's got a great one on just what you're talking about. the runner's coming in, and the bubble is, I think I know what the catcher's going to do. And the catcher's saying, I think I'm blocking the plate, or maybe I'm not.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And it's really like crazy, but it's almost like what's going on the field.
That is exactly, that exactly it captures it. And if you're a runner coming in and you're thinking about sliding, but all of a sudden, why would you slide? You're out by, you know, considerable margin. Okay, well, maybe I'll just bowl the guy over. But wait a minute, you're not supposed to lower your shoulder. So what are you supposed to do? You know, go in backwards? I mean, it's just there's so many weird things going on and a lot of embarrassment. And I some of the people I talk to, just it should be a common sense thing. Forget the rule. Just look at the play and take it from there.
Yeah.
And obviously, if a guy goes out of his way to blow up a catcher, which is what this is wholly about, he's out. And you probably won't see much more of that.
Okay. No, I agree. Pat and I talked about it today.
And one other thing about the challenge is, why are they anonymous in New York? I mean, I don't understand why they're not more transparent. What are they worried about?
Well, that's horrible. Well, I mean, they're umpires. They're brethren of the people on the field. I mean, they certainly don't want to be interviewed and say, well, Joe West was dead wrong there, and you know, then you have a grudge or something like that. I've always thought it should be on site. It's, you know, obviously it costs a lot of money. If the booths aren't pre-existing, you got to create them, and they've built this fancy new headquarters in New York. Although I hear it's at the Chelsea Market. They could just turn it into a nice delicatessen.
With some gabagoo and some prosciutto and all that, right?
It's got to be on site. I mean, you got to have people on site who are accountable, possibly interviewable after the game, and not umpires. They don't have any stake in it.
Right.
Quite true. Hey, Pat and I had an interesting discussion this morning about booing. And and there's nothing like baseball. When you know, it's okay. You buy your ticket. You can express your displeasure at a result or the way something is going. It doesn't have to be necessarily a personal thing, but we can't do it in any other part of our lives. You have a boss that says something, you can't boo him. You get a bad meal at home, you can't boo anybody.
I think I booed a bank teller once, but just that one time.
Yeah, but nice. Out here you can do it, and it's okay. Isn't this unique to the world?
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's an odd phenomenon. I've never, you know, just as a fan, especially younger, when I'm not covering the game, you just want to yell out, for crying out loud, throw the ball, or, you know, swing the bat, or, hey, you blew that. But to actually go, boo, I've never done that. That's an odd phenomenon. But thousands of people do it, and it sure gets the message across. I mean, you know, if a player wants to know how he stands with the fans and he gets booed off the field, that's pretty clear.
Really? Boy, all right. Hey, what's your day like today?
Well, big day in the family. Recent days, my daughter's learning how to drive. She's 15 and a half. She got her learner's permit, and I've been the guy in the car in the passenger seat while she takes her first spin around in any car, you know, getting the feel of the brakes and the accelerator. It's thrilling stuff, and she's doing great. My wife and I are both doing it with her, and that's kind of the big thing. But obviously a massive sports day with the 49ers and the Giants and Little League, and so it's a tremendous day out here on the coast.
I always say find a large parking lot like Golden Gate Fields and just say here.
We've got a church parking lot that's vast and empty, and everybody goes out there to do this thing, and we're the latest.
Yeah, that's the deal. And I think I took the kids to Golden Gate Fields, the parking lot.
I learned on a stick shift.
The only car that was there was Sam Spears.
Sam Spears?
That was it.
He's there all the time.
Well, there you go.
All right. Hey, Bruce, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Right on, Bruce.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Bruce Jenkins.